Hi, my name is Tara Lavassar. I'm a resident in Ward 1. I don't have any questions. You may sit down. For all the questions and answers and testimony I've heard from the City Council tonight and from the members of the taxpayers and the members of the Firefighters Association, I believe we probably should have had, since the executive session was held, a council members to ask questions, and taxpayers probably should have been allowed to hear all of this. This should have been a totally different meeting. I don't think that any of the taxpayers, I don't think any of the council members are aware of all the provisions or the language in this contract. I think all of this could have been avoided if we had an open meeting. Beyond that, we have also learned that the previous firefighter contract was flawed, and there have been major revisions and provisions from that contract that was heralded as a template for future labor contracts that could have been implemented. Yet it appears that even with this defective language that you may now, that you may be willing to ratify another contract, and we may be, as taxpayers and the firefighters may be, on the losing end of arbitration decisions. Warwick spends more than any other municipality at over 35% of the city budget for all the firefighter services. 35%. It appears that the legally correct process to change the provisions of the contract and not execute the OPEB contract language was not followed by the mayor and the administration or the city council. It also appears that the legally correct process to change the provisions of the contract and not execute the OPEB contract language was not followed by the mayor or the city council. As we have learned from the Harrington report, any deviation to a contract must be presented to the city council and heard in public. This was not done. We have learned that many of the same defective issues that were identified 3 years ago have not been resolved in this contract concerning potential illegal language and provisions. We have also learned that the new contract contains language indicating the OPEB fund investments will be controlled in the same manner as money in the pension plans for firefighters. However, Warwick's OPEB trust funds and all aspects of it are controlled by the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust. That directly contradicts the language in the contract and opens up taxpayers to future litigations. We have learned that unlike the fire pension language that specifically references pension ordinances that contain language on how the funds are run, there is no such ordinances referenced in this fire contract for OPEB because none exist. In the future, this could result in litigation if actions are taken that are not agreed by the firefighter union. Even if future ordinances are written, they can be grieved by the firefighter because they are not referenced in the contract. Taxpayers lost a case in 2018 that cost millions of dollars because of similar issues. We have learned that the fiscal note does not contain the impact of the cost taxpayers will bear on the Fire One pension COLA that are equal to the salary increases of active firefighters. We understand that could be almost a $2 million impact. We have also learned that the fiscal note does not contain the impact of increasing active employee salaries on banked sick time. The impact could be more than $1 million. We have learned the fiscal note contains an improper calculation that reduced the cost of the contract in fiscal 2025, which is just not true. In closing, we want the record to show as taxpayers that on behalf of all of us that we request the City Council to reject the contract ratification on the basis that the fiscal note does not provide the full contract cost to us taxpayers. And the language deficiency could result in hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayers' future liabilities and potential litigations. As to say that we also have a school bond that is also, as we noted, up for again a revote because of the same deficiency in litigation and language. I'm not about to lose my house and change my children's school and move to a different city because the language in the contracts, again, for the second time in not even a year, have deficiencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Rick Casella. I live in Ward 1. And I've just been making observations as we go through. And I remember at the very beginning, Mr. Kaiser came up. He talked about the contract itself and some of the financial provisions. And I just want to clarify a few things for you folks so that you can make an educated decision. Now, I don't mean to refute anything Mr. Kaiser said, but I just wanted to clarify that he had made a statement about the one-third contribution of the firefighters into their pension. And I just wanted to be sure that it was noted that that contribution is money that they will glean in their retirement. So it's a contribution that benefits them, and it's not just a gift to the city, too. Okay, so there is a benefit to the firefighter to make that contribution. And then also the 9.5, the 2, 3.25, or 3.875 and 3.875 raises add up to 9.5%, but they're compounded, which we all know. And I just want to make sure that we're very clear about the total increase in pay over the 3 years of the contract. I guess there's not a lot more you can say about this process, except this is not about picking on the firefighters and saying they don't deserve what they earn, or that you can really raise a family on $100,000. It's not easy. I know that. I have children. So I'm surprised that the firefighters who are here in support of the contract, and why wouldn't they be? I would want my bargaining agreement, despite the evergreen contract, to evolve, okay? So I have no problem with the fact that, I do have a problem with the fact that we're talking about this contract ratification now, and I'll get to that after this. But I think the firefighters should take a different posture from a public relations standpoint, rather than being pissed off at Rob Cody and Bob Cushman because they know all the numbers and they announced them out.
Sir, please keep your comments to me.
Okay, I talk directly to you then? Is that what you want?
Don't identify other individuals. Just
I can look
keep
this
your
way.
Comments.
So I think I just think you guys need to realize that whatever economies that the taxpayers are trying to glean in these contracts benefit the system itself because there's new money for equipment now. You guys are very well equipped. You have your allowances for this, that, and the other thing. So you can laugh if you want, but I mean, we all should be in this together, and you guys should be mad at these guys for pushing contracts that are incomplete because all they do is make everybody think you're not on the take if you really want to know. That's what I think. And I think you should be with us saying, hey, guys, if this stuff isn't clean as a whistle and it is not very, very clear what we're going to get over these next 3 years, and we're not relying on other bargaining units and negotiators to make sure that they pay to what we're not going to, then I would tell them, I don't want you to ratify this contract till this stuff is correct. They owe that to you. You guys have, many of you are taxpayers in the city of Warwick. I pay $40,000 roughly a year in taxes on different properties and stuff, okay? And I consider that an investment in my community. And the dividends that you want for your community, for your investment, are the same ones that I want. Good city services. I don't need bread and circus. I don't need ice rinks and candy canes. But I need just efficiency. There are so many things that other monies in the city could be spent on. So they're all efficient. And you guys should be championing economy, thrift, responsibility, openness, transparency, all those things. You should be with us on this. It's not about us saying you guys don't deserve it. It's about us saying these guys don't have the business acumen or the willingness to dig into this stuff and listen to people who pay attention, who know. Unfortunately, what's very obvious here is the two guys you guys hate the most, and I might be in that group after this, they know more tonight and are more prepared than the city's finance director or anybody else, because none of them could really give you that information. And I'm sorry, but if I'm coming to a meeting to ratify a contract, I'm going to know every single question. I should know this stuff. And the fact that you don't know it in the private sector would get you fired. So I think this is more about you guys having the cannolis to stand up and say, this isn't right. I'm not going to say no because I don't stand with you guys as good workers and good an asset to the city, but I'm not going to let you sign a contract that's incomplete and that's going to get torn apart and grieved and just going to be another reason for people to say, these guys are never happy. They get a great, they get a fair wage, they get good benefits, they have longevity, and they have security in their job. But, and I can't give no contract that's flawless and has doesn't have any vague language. I mean, come on. Oh, so, I mean, with that said, it's all about, it's not about getting into your pocket. It's about just making sure that there's no eventuality that we're going to have to go and reopen and get back to things. And then I just have one other point, and I'll sit down. And this is a question for the mayor and his legal counsel. Mr. Mayor, do I think it's prudent when we're in the middle of a legal action against a select group of firefighters, I don't know who's the plaintiffs and the defendants, but is it prudent for us to be ratifying a contract when we're in the middle of a litigation that says these guys were naughty, okay? And just let me finish so you get what I'm saying. Should we be in that? And this should be here when we're aware of that. Only reason I say that is because there may be a countersuit from the firefighters, and their argument's going to be, and I don't know if Mr. Asilo can speak to this, but their argument's going to be, well, you just gave us 10% raise. How could we be so bad that you would give us a raise, but then you want us to, you know, you want to get money back from us because you say we took it, their ill-gotten gains. So I think it's really important, and you have the evergreen contract language from Councilwoman Wilkinson championed a while ago. So you're not going to be out of contract. And whether or not you can get retroactive pay when you do actually put your new contract into effect, but it seems to me that you should have all legal issues off the table and settled. So it's very clear that that's gone. It's not going to be something that's going to be hanging over my head anymore. All right? We adjudicate. We took our medicine or not. And now it's time for us to start fresh. And I think that goes to the public relations aspect, people bothering about going to the supermarket and things like that. That might not be an issue if we just knew that we're all working together on an equal footing with no little things popping up every 10 minutes or every 10 weeks. Something else comes up. Oh, they didn't take the money out for this because they screwed that up. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. It just seems like we probably shouldn't be doing this until we adjudicate the lawsuit. And then when we do, I mean, my opinion is when you do, if you want to finish this contract, then you sign it. You get to the point where you can sign it, and it's clean, so you can sign it. You don't have to worry about anything changing. And then you implement the contract when you finish your lawsuit. And that will either push the lawsuit to settle quicker. And I think that if you don't settle it and you go into the new contract time, then you don't administer the benefits or salary changes until such time that that other thing is gone. Now, whether that is retroactive, maybe it shouldn't be retroactive. So the guys that were involved in taking a giant cash in sick time, the newer guys, might feel the pinch and say, you know what, those guys kind of played hard and fast with the language, the mayor, you know, sent his guy over and they worked something out. And maybe then those guys will say, you know what, that isn't going to happen on my watch. Not going to happen again. And these are the consequences when things like that happen. There's consequences. That's all I'm saying. So I hope you guys, I know it's going to be 7-2, so I don't even want to, but I hope you, it's 7-2 or.
1 minute, Mr. Cazale.
Yeah, I got you. I just hope you realize that even though there's only a few of us here, there's going to be more over and over as time wears on, because the more we muddle through this inconsistency in this indifference and the fact that half the people up here don't know one piece of information, those simplest things that you should know, okay, that we will get to a point where ratifying the contract when it's incomplete and you know, this cost Corley his job, and we know why he got bounced, because they drafted Bill to take him on, which incidentally happened 20 years ago against Donna Travis. So it's Bill's good at that, and I like him as my councilman, but I feel bad for Mr. Cawley, because he got run out of here on the rails because he spoke up. And sometimes people have to speak up, and he did, and he took the consequences. So maybe you guys ought to think about how important it is to be honest about what you really think.
Time's up, Mr. Casella.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, council members, Mayor Bogosi, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like I'm last. Last and least. Not least, but last. My name is Donald Fife, Ward 1. I've been a Warwick resident all my life. That's 81 years. I'm probably the oldest one here. Compared to all these other young guys. Everybody respects the Warwick firemen and women. They run in the buildings when everybody's running out. And they even save animals, people's pets. They do a lot. They deserve a lot, but where is it going to end? Where are you going to draw the line? People can't keep affording raises and increases. Everything's going up, food, electric, utilities, clothing, everything, gas, automobiles, everything. How can we do it? We can't. What are you going to do with the people that are on fixed income? I'm on a fixed income. What are you going to do for seniors? What are you going to do for veterans? Just can't keep going. When is enough enough? You're going to keep giving raises to people, and the people will have to leave. Even Mayor Percosi with the school buildings said people will be forced out of their homes because they won't be able to pay the property taxes. That was in Warwick Beacon in August of last year. It's like getting 10 pounds of sugar out of a 5-pound bag. You can't do it. How many homes in Warwick pay property taxes? Anybody know?
Administration? You got to go on to the mic, sir.
Excuse me. Yes, about 35,000.
35,000?
Yes.
Wow. 35,000 homes are paying all these taxes. That's not many. Not many. People are going to, once we had, when I went to school, I graduated in 1961, we had 19,000 students in Warwick. Today we have 8,800, as told to me by the superintendent. What happened to all these people? They left because property taxes were too high. And now they're going to go even higher with everything else. People are going to leave. The average taxpayer does not make $96,000 a year. A lot of us don't even make half that. And we're gonna make ends meet. So my question is, when is enough enough? Where are you gonna draw the line? How are people, regular people, average people, who are not on a fixed income, going to pay all these? As the mayor said, people will be forced to leave their homes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please. Just please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Christine Davenport, and I'm from Ward 5. I am a wife, mother of three, and registered nurse who has lived and worked in Warwick for many years. Personally and professionally, I have called 911 more times than I can count, and I can say with all sincerity, the service our Warwick firefighters provide is second to none. And I'd like to stop for a second to say thank you for all that you do, especially when dealing with traumatic, life-threatening emergencies. I'm not sure there's a person in this room who disputes that being a first responder can be a very tough job. However, I decided to speak today, not on behalf of the Warwick firefighters, but on behalf of the majority of low and middle income citizens that are having great difficulty paying for their basic needs. I am speaking for my neighbors, Helen, Mary, and Arthur, whose names I've changed for privacy purposes. Helen is a 68-year-old woman who's been living alone for the past 35 years. She's disabled and has been in and out of the hospital numerous times due to chronic health problems. She's on a fixed income and her medical bills keep piling up. She told me she had tears in her eyes when she opened her last electric bill, which had almost doubled in cost. I'm speaking for my neighbor, Mary, who is a single mother of two, living in a small two-bedroom ranch, who goes shopping online at Walmart first before she actually goes into the store because she wants to be sure that she can afford everything that she puts in her carriage. I am speaking for Arthur and Helen, neighbors who have been married over 60 years. They have been living in their small ranch for many years as well, and they are also struggling, trying to make ends meet. They no longer go out every Saturday night for date night, which had been a ritual for them for many, many years. I could go on and on and on, but I think you get my point. In short, I am pro-Warwick firefighter. I truly believe they deserve the best salary with the best benefits around. But I also feel the contract should be a package that average Warwick taxpayers can afford. Personally, I think that the firefighters and all city workers should pay more towards retirement, more towards healthcare, and firefighters at the top tier should abstain from raises until the salaries from other towns and cities catch up to their current generous salary. This contract is unsustainable to the financial health of this city. You can't ask taxpayers to pay more. And I believe that it's going to be way more than $22 a year. Come on. It's not right. It's not fair. And it's not kind. So now it's up to you, the councilman and councilwoman, representatives of your district, your neighbors, to decide. When you cast your vote, please think about Helen, Mary, and Arthur, and the thousands of other Warwick citizens who are struggling just to make ends meet. What is this vote going to do to them? Do you even care?
Thank you. Are there any other individuals who would like to speak against the ratification at this time? Are there any other individuals who would like to speak against ratification at this time? Are there any other individuals who would like to speak against ratification at this time? Are there any other individuals who would like to be heard this evening on the ratification? Are there any individuals here that would like to be heard on ratification? Are there any individuals here that would like to be heard on this ratification? Okay, hearing none. Councilman Howell looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. At this time, are there any questions or comments that members of the council would like to make regarding ratification? Any members? Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just very quickly, as was mentioned at the very beginning, you mentioned, Mr. President, and the administration, this contract was out for quite a bit of time to be released. There was a lot of social media buzz of certain extra activities going on outside of the contract, and that actually aroused the buzz of some of my neighbors. That aroused the buzz of some of my constituents. And I can say very comfortably that I received five phone calls, two emails. I apologize. Five phone calls, two emails from constituents, that a total of seven, that talked to me about this contract and in the end supported the contract. And one of them is sitting here to this evening. So I want to let this body know that the time that it took to review, contrary to the belief of some, the time it took to review and the time it took to discuss with my constituents that I represent, I will be voting for this contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Any additional questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So we've got numerous questions that have not been answered. Some financial questions have not been answered. We don't know what the results are from the previous contract with the illegal OPEB clause. And we don't know what the results are going to be with potentially $400,000 in possible overpayments. We don't know if the information that was presented to us this evening from Mr. Cody, which spoke about the financial liability of the sick days, the accumulated sick days, and why that does not appear in the fiscal note. We haven't been answered why a $12 million liability doesn't show on the fiscal note. But I want to give you a comparison between what the taxpayers are receiving in this proposed contract versus what the fire department is receiving. And before I get into that, it's very fair to mention that I too agree from personal experience that our fire department is very professional, does a very good job. And you can shake your head, sir, but this is the truth. You have made numerous visits to my 92-year-old mother. You've always been very professional, very polite, and very caring. You have a job to do, and I have a job to do. And my job is to represent and protect the best interests of all. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 plus years. And I don't have any intent of changing. So here's what I've got so far, and the administrations can certainly add
to this list if they want. What I've seen here from the taxpayers' side is a gain of $100 each on the cap on prescription drugs from a single plan. And $200, this is for a year, and $200 each increase on the cap of a family plan. I've seen a potential 2% contribution to an OPEB plan, which still has not been designed or drafted or implemented, when we were assured that it would be with the last contract, and nothing still is in the works with that. And we don't know if, in fact, that is ever going to come to be. And that's the extent of where I see the taxpayers benefiting in this contract. Now, here's what I see on the fire department side of the contract. I see raises over the next 3 years of 10.6 cumulative, $2.7 million. I see an increase yearly of $5,000 in an educational reimbursement. I see $500 each in an education development. I see exams scores for new firefighters. I see the points being reduced. This is the qualification to become one of you folks, what you had to pass. I see it being reduced from a grade level of 70 to 65. I see the quantity of exams that you all had to take being reduced from 5 to 2. I'm sorry, being reduced by 2 to 3. I see eliminations for time and grade for Fire One firefighters to take the promotional tests. The requirement to take the promotional test has actually been lowered. I see the closing allowance increased by $50. I see it eliminates one battalion officer on vacation at a time. That's been changed. The medical exams requirements have been reduced from age 45, actually it's been eliminated. There is no age requirement anymore for the medical exams, which are being paid for by the taxpayers. And then we have the reduction of health care, which is, if the cost of health care increases to the taxpayers, the increase in contribution to the firefighters has been reduced from 10% to 5%. Now, perhaps Mr. Schaefer would like to weigh in on this, but this is my assumption. It says it's reduced from 10% to 5%. My assumption is the contribution that you are currently making to healthcare, that contribution cannot be increased more than 5%. So here's the formula I'm using to kind of make sense of this on behalf of the taxpayers. Right now, it's about $23,000. It perhaps could be even a little bit more. $23,000 a year for a family plan. A 20% contribution is $4,600. That's what comes out of the employee. If we take an increase, and it's not unheard of, to take an increase of 7, 8, 9, 10%. I've seen it higher, especially in the years where I was the healthcare chair for a very large organization. If it increases by 8%, that's an $1,840 increase in the cost of that family healthcare. If the employee's contribution only increases 5%, that additional contribution is $230. That means the taxpayers are taking the hit for the rest, which is $1,610. Back in November of 2021, I had made it perfectly clear that I would not vote in favor of any contract that did not come very close to mirroring the ordinance that I attempted to get passed. This does not do that. The taxpayers cannot continue to bear the cost of free lifetime health care. They can't bear the cost of 80% of active employees. We cannot continue going down the road where we have more retirees than active employees. We are expected to rely on financial information that's provided to us, which appears as though it's not all inclusive, and some of it perhaps not accurate. We need to get past this issue of the dislike and the disdain of two of our community people, two of our taxpayers, Mr. Cody and Mr. Cushman. You may not like them. You may not even like to hear what they have to say. But as far as this councilman's concerned, their numbers are very accurate. You know why? Because they're the numbers that they get from the city. These numbers are not just made up. It's not pie in the sky numbers. We may disagree on some conclusions. We may disagree on some forecasts. But at the end of the day, you can take it to the bank. I think the numbers are very accurate. Sometimes you need to go to arbitration. I remember a very good friend of mine who told me when I first got elected, he said, he said to me, you never want to be on the losing side of the vote. And my response to him was, sometimes you need to be on the losing side of the vote to be on the right side of the vote. I don't believe that this contract is in the best interest of the good of the whole. And for those reasons, I will not be voting in favor of that contract. And I certainly would not object if this city council chooses to let it go to arbitration and let's see what happens. If I were to continually tell a customer that owes me money, don't worry about it, I'm never going to sue you because I don't know if I'll win or not, I'd never get paid. Sometimes you got to take the leap and let's find out. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional comments or questions from members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up. Is it permissible to ask questions to the administration here? I had a few follow-up questions on things that were raised during the public comment. I think the questions are probably best answered by Mr. Schaefer, and they just reflect back to the fiscal note and specifically about the two questions in terms of the impact of the salary increases on the COLA and the impact of the salary increases on the bank sick time. Clearly, I know, Mr. Schaefer, you've been doing this a long time, and so there are likely reasons that you did not include those. So I'd just like to hear from you in terms of why are those not reflected in the fiscal note, and what, if any, impact do you think should be considered there?
Well, you see the base cost in the fiscal note. $1,264,000 is holiday and sick time. And this is the appreciation of that amount. I really need someone from the fire department, maybe the deputy chief, on the how the unused sick leave was paid off.
He's not speaking. He's getting an answer.
Sir, the answer is there's two components to the sick leave that was that were raised. There's when you take sick leave, and we code it separately so we know how many what the dollar value is, and then you firefighters can get paid 75% of their unused sick leave, and that's so there's very little going out into the out years. So I don't understand where the questions were coming from. I mean, the fire department's more familiar with the exact execution of the payroll than I am, but I don't see a liability there that was being raised here. The liabilities are recorded here. The additional cost of the pay raise into the value of the sick time, holiday pay, et cetera.
So are you saying that in the fiscal note you've accounted for anticipated sick time payouts at the higher rate, but not the balance sheet implication or the increased liability over time?
It really is not material to the whole picture because they're getting paid for their unused sick time. It's not like they're accumulating sick time for, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, that they're accumulating sick time for 20 years and then they retire, they're getting an enormous payout. That's not the way it's working. And that does work, for example, in state employment. I'm familiar with that. But they have a provision where they're getting paid on a current basis for unused sick time.
And so is that in this first table on page one of the fiscal note? Yeah. Is that a holiday and sick? Is that where that's?
So the value of the 2.5% pay increase in the first year on holiday and sick time is an increase over the base of $1.264 million of $31,623, and then as the following 2 years after that.
Okay. And then in terms of the COLA, is that accounted for in line five, or is that elsewhere?
Well, the COLA is the dollar increase. You see the dollar increase row, 411,531. That's the direct compensation. We've discounted it by an average 4% vacancy rate to get to 395,070. And then holiday sick time, overtime, we built in the base of each Social Security contribution, the retirement contribution, that's all fire two, where it's based upon a percentage of pay. That's where you get to the 677,790. And just a point, you recall when we passed the budget, we budgeted 400,000 for compensation increases for this group. So the net cost this year of this contract is 400,000 less than this amount. We have 400,000 already reserved. But the figures in the other years are accurate.
Got it. Yeah, that was my next question. So you got there faster than me, so I appreciate that. All right, thank you. Let me just look back for my notes. I think that's all from you, Mr. Schaefer. Thank you. Mr. Kaiser, just a quick question if you have a sec. Thank you. I had a question back. So just to be transparent where I'm thinking right now, obviously it's been a priority for this council and for this administration to remedy some of the longtime issues in terms of OPEB and OPEB funding. And that's been an incremental step-by-step process where we established the account, where we funded the account at some nominal level in budget one, and we've subsequently increased that, and now we're incorporating it into contracts, which seems like we're moving in the right direction. In terms of vetting this contract and whether it's fair to the taxpayers and fair to the firefighters, the primary area I'm concerned about is, is one leg of this shaky in that it depends on the actions of others in order to become a material positive impact to the city. And that's been really my number one issue with this from the beginning. So in terms of that provision, where did that come from? who suggested that that be a provision in the contract, that it be anchored to what the other collective bargaining agreements do?
In the negotiations, without getting into the details of what was on the table initially on both sides, but I did reference earlier that the administration had put on the table a direct retiree health care payment as opposed to a OPEB contribution during the course of the active firefighters service. But in the give and take of negotiations, that did not, that we were not successful there. So we, with the existing language that was in the current contract, or the contract expired last June 30th, where there was a new hire OPEB post-2019, we worked with that language. And we pursued conversation in that regard. The union, not surprisingly, said, well, we don't want to be the guinea pigs here. Come one, come all. We'll jump in with a contingency that the other unions and obviously non-municipal employees will all be subject to the same provision if this were to become effective. So that's how it transpired. I did indicate earlier that in the contract negotiations with the municipal employees for the contract that began 2 Julys ago, we had very serious discussions over retiree healthcare benefits and the sustainability. And there is a, in Councilman Ricks's terms, good faith negotiations that's already been initiated where they've shown a willingness at the 2% level to have their members contribute to an OPEB trust. So I'm very confident that with municipal employees that the 2% is essentially a given without ink having been signed. With police, we haven't begun negotiations yet. So, but as solicitors indicated earlier, we've had very cooperative negotiations with the police over time. So I think we're all hopeful and expecting that it's going to be a good outcome.
Okay, thank you. I think I have one more. Let me just look. Would you come back to me if I stop now?
But yes, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President. I'd like to thank the mayor and the administration, and thank the union, its members, all of whom negotiated in good faith. I'd like to thank the department, all of the firefighters for their service. Thank the public for their comments this evening. I think that this has been a very productive hearing. There is something that was a little bit of a surprise to me, is that it sure seemed that some people were guessing what my vote would be. And I think that some of them may have guessed wrong. A little bit of a surprise, because just because I vote one way on one contract doesn't mean that I'm always going to vote the same way on a particular department's contract every single year. Quite the contrary, I try to make my vote be as predictable to the public as I really can. I try to set forth that criteria, and then when that criteria is met, I have no hesitation to vote yes. If that criteria is not being met, I'll vote no. I said a few years ago, at the last time that this contract came up, that I'm looking to see whether the negotiation was conducted in good faith. I'm looking to see whether there is being a significant step made on OPEB. Because, you know what, if we're not funding these long-term contributions, or excuse me, these long-term liabilities, then I don't know what we're expecting to see happen as a city. one of the scariest things that I heard this evening, and I hate to pick on a member of the administration, but when I heard that comment about amortizing the OPEB liabilities over a period of ideally, I believe that the phrase was less than 30 years, all I could think to myself is, we have already amortized certain long-term liabilities pursuant to the 40-year plan back in the 1990s, when the original fire and police pensions were simply not funded from the beginning. Here we are with OPEB, where OPEB has been offered the retiree health insurance for many decades. It really had not been properly funded by employee contributions, that is, contributions of active employees during their working years, up until what we hope to see being done under this contract, if that contingency is met. So, as I see it, and obviously the numbers vary year by year, this year, I believe, this fiscal year, our contribution, the city's contribution to that Fire and Police One pension is about $20 million. Under that 40-year plan, we are essentially having this massive mortgage upon the city that we have to pay. And the last thing that I want to see is just as that 40-year mortgage of sorts is coming to a close, is for us to enter into a new 30-year mortgage. Well, rather, that's the second last thing that I want to see, because the very last thing I want to see from the city is going through bankruptcy and the nightmares that that would be for everybody involved. So that's why OPEB is important. It's not about anything one-sided here. It's about making sure that the city is able to honor the contracts that it signed for all of these employees during their working years, so that the rug isn't pulled out from under them in their retirement. It's also about making sure that for the sake of the city, city services, for the taxpayers, that we are not running ourselves into a situation where we're going to find ourselves walking straight off a cliff into bankruptcy with all of the severe consequences that that has for everybody involved. Now, I certainly do not expect for us to be able to turn this ship around and dig ourselves out of this very deep hole, literally a nine-figure liability with OPEB. We're not going to be able to do that in one contract. So that's why I said a few years ago that what I really want to see is us to be able to take a significant step. I'm not crazy about this contingency. I understand why there is a contingency. And so what I wanted from my questions to the administration and to the union representation is assurances. Do we have any reason to think that this contingency is not going to be met? Obviously, we don't know what the result of the negotiations are going to be with the police union and municipal employees unions before those negotiations actually happen. I don't expect their union leadership to pre-negotiate either. That's not fair. But as long as it's on the table, there is no concern that there's something going on where it's being taken off the table, because that would not be acting in good faith. And I do think that everyone here understands how important it is for these OPEB contributions to go into effect, because if they don't, then the folks who are going to be hurt the very most are the people who are active employees right now who are depending on that program, on that funding being there in your retirement. So I would say that, yes, 2% of base pay, that is a significant step in the right direction. It's not digging us out of the hole, but it sure is slowing the rate that we're continuing to dig into that hole. And I don't think that in one contract we can feasibly see much more progress. That doesn't mean that I'm thrilled with everything in the contract. I'm not. And there is not never going to be a contract that I'm 100% satisfied with. But that's why I come back to those two criteria of, was it negotiated in good faith, and are we making that significant step in the right direction? Because it's not my role as a city councilman to negotiate the contract. It's my role to have a vote in its ratification. And by those measures, I am comfortable ratifying this contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley.
Before I speak, Councilman Gebhardt had mentioned going back to him. Are you done, Councilman? No, you first, please.
Councilman Gebhardt.
I just had a quick question for Mr. Carrero.
Mr. Carrero.
Mr. Carrero, thank you for joining us. So when you and I spoke last week, I had that similar question to what I just asked Mr. Kaiser. So I just wanted to clarify that with you. So I had asked you who had asked for the provision that all the other bargaining units participated, and you had represented that it was the administration. And then I just heard something different. So I just wanted to clarify, get on the record, just, what the right answer is.
It was just in the middle of bargaining and negotiations that we wanted to address the OPEB. Not sure how the provisions got in there, but that's something that we had agreed on to other terms in during negotiations.
Okay. Thank you.
I hope that answers it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions, Councilman Gebhardt? Councilman Foley.
President Carrera, just point of clarification. Earlier you mentioned that in 2015, is that the year where the family paid health care for life was given up?
That is correct.
All right. You bring out a point that I bring up almost every time there's a contract in front of the city council. I'm in a unique position that I was a union president. I negotiated contracts. I served at Davies Career Tech, which was a state school, but also a local educational institution. And over the course of those 30 years, I know what we gave up to keep certain provisions in our contract. So I appreciate you making that point in your presentation. I have a follow-up question to Councilman Gebhardt's. When we were negotiating contracts, and I don't want to talk about my past, but we had what we called the Me Too, because Council 94 was a much larger union than Davies Teachers Association. So we would do a mirror to theirs. There were certain provisions that we would mirror 94, so we didn't have to negotiate that. We would just piggyback. It sounds like this OPEC 2% is similar to that. And I want to congratulate the firefighters union to being the first one to step up and saying, we're willing to do this. We're going to set the example. And it's also gratifying to hear that other city workers are willing to follow that example. Based on the testimony we heard, the municipal workers are willing to discuss it. Well, no one is willing to commit for the Warwick Police Department, which I understand completely. But I want to thank you and the Warwick firefighters for taking that first step, because for the last 2 years, we've been talking every time the budget comes up, that albatross that's sitting on our necks that we need to eventually deal with. And one of the other councilmen asked earlier, what do the citizens get? Step one, as the administration pointed out, step one in the process, and we're taking step one tonight. That's the end of my comments, Council President. I would wish to call the question.
Well, is there any other council person who hasn't had an opportunity to speak on this or has exhausted their time? at this? Anyone, the council person? Okay, do you have a motion?
In favorable action to ratify the contract.
Motion has been moved as favorable action, second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. Any questions or comments? This is for favorable action on PCR 10-23. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call off for favorable action. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
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 Thank you very much. I just need a motion to adjourn, Councilman Howe.
Make motion to adjourn.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.